I about did. See, I'm going to get in the middle. He's trying to get me to only preach to this side, but I'm not going to do it. All right, that's enough because you make me cry. All right. Good morning. Man, we're glad you're here. Makes all the work worth it. We've been planning for you to be here for some time. And so we're glad that you're here to take part in what we're doing here and that you so freely and willingly enter in and take all the best parts back with you to your home churches. My favorite part about youth camp is not necessarily what happens between Sunday and Thursday night here. My favorite part is that you guys will leave here and you... Stay with me. You will leave here and you will go back to your home churches. You'll go back to your home communities. You will go back to your families. And hopefully you will take a portion of what you have received here this week and you will impart that into your life in some relevant and important way. That's my favorite part. Because if what we do here this week stays here, then we're not doing what we need to be doing. Because we are not called to come together and just have fun and share together with what God has for you just this week, right? Everything that happens here should propel you out of here to do big and great and powerful things in your own lives. Because we serve a God that is bigger than our circumstance, right? So I'm going to share something this morning. I love this movie, The Greatest Showman. Love it. And there's a lot of good messages in it to me. On the very surface level, you know, the idea that everybody has a talent and an ability and a calling in their lives that they have been called to, and we all should be given the opportunity to act that out in our lives. You know, so whether your talent is singing or speaking or ministry in some way or going out and speaking to the nations, or is your talent to be really good moms and dads? Is your talent to be really good friends to the people around you? Is your talent right now to do really well in school and to do good at home and to further your education and go on to college and do great things there in whatever that field is? I sit behind a desk that primarily I help people with their finances. Some people may not think that's a ministry. I think that's a ministry because in a good way, there have been almost as many people crying across from me in my office as there have been here in this building. And in a good way, because when we can understand how we can be successful and we can plan today for what we want life to look like later, that's a really important thing. And so that's a little bit hard to see when you're young because you're like, I want to do this thing right now and this is what I want. Because we are an immediate gratification kind of people. But when we can stop for just a minute and say, if I take just some small steps today toward what I want my life to look like later, that's really important. Would you agree? Right. So the other thing I really like about this movie is that we can all relate to someone within this movie. And so we did a little fun decoration thing this year. And the girls had this idea, and they said, do you think that we can do that? And I said, I think that'd be fantastic. And so we got together, and we did these photos. And I've been looking at them all week, and I looked at them when we put them up the other night. And what came to my mind is that you guys come in here, and you might relate to something you see on the wall right now. So just kind of think about what that might be in your head right now. Does anybody want to share who they think they relate to? Anyone? Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I get that. Anybody else want to share? Okay. So I want to share a little bit about what I've kind of seen in these. And I'm going to try to move through all of them. If we run out of time, that's okay. But I just want to share a little bit about that. So I started out here with the flying trapeze, right? I love it. Yep. You may have come here this week and you feel a little bit like you're stuck between two places. So to be a successful trapeze artist, I would assume, no experience in that, I would assume that you need to be really okay with the idea that the next piece of bar that is coming at you, you have to be pretty secure that that's going to be there when you reach out, right? Because you need to be willing to grab that and let go at the same time, right? That's scary. Because what if it's not there, right? What if you can't see the next thing you need to grab? What if you can't see the next step in your process, right? Maybe it's a decision that you need to make. Maybe it's a relationship that you need to break. I didn't mean to make all of these rhyme, but maybe it's also a relationship that you need to make or further, right? But if you want to move forward, you have to let go of the past. You have to be brave enough to know that that next step is there. How are you brave enough to know, right? Hashtag this is me. I think it's fantastic if you can relate to the struggles with the people around you, right? Because that's the world we live in. We're really good at relating to the people around us because they have lives that are kind of as crazy and all of that as ours are, right? But I think we have to take it a step further from just relating to the struggles of the people around us and be a voice in that darkness to move us forward past it, right? Okay? We can't stay where we were. We can't stay on the first rung of the trapeze. Because then it's just a swing, and you're just going back and forth. And you're not going anywhere. It's kind of like a rocking chair. You can rock all day long, but it's not going to take you anywhere. Right? You can just swing all day long. You're not going anywhere. God's called you to places, right? So I'm going to bring up my first scripture this morning. And bless Jamie's heart. She has as many scriptures as there are pictures on this wall. I'm sorry. So Philippians 3:13-14 is our first one. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Right? We have to press on. Pressing requires an action from us. You don't just press through a crowd with no effort from you. You might have to use a shoulder. You might have to push through some things, okay? And I'm not saying that that is easy, but if that's where you are, it's important because you have to do it to get toward that prize that God has called you to. And I'm not talking about a prize of heaven that's way out in the future that, you know, everything's just going to be great and streets of gold. I'm talking about a life for you to live now today that you enjoy and you love and you're doing what God's called you to do, right? Okay, so I'm going to move on to the Siamese twins. Tristel, the Siamese twins. Maybe you came here and you feel a little bit like you're being constantly compared to someone else. It's hard to not be compared to the person that's probably connected right here, looks kind of like you, right? But when we're constantly compared to someone else, people can say things to us like, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not pretty or handsome enough. The reason we struggle with insecurity is we're comparing our outtakes to everybody else's final reel, right? We see all of the stuff that we struggle with, all of the things that are going on in our lives. We look around at the people around us and we think, man, they got it all together. Why can't I have it all together, right? And so it steals our joy when we do that, right? Comparison's the thief of joy. Stop that. Stop doing that. This is not a race that we are racing against one another to win. This is something that we are doing together that we need to help each other with, okay? So don't do the comparison. But the next scripture is Psalms 139 and 14. It says, and Lisa used this one the other night, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O Lord. My soul knows right well. See, we need to line our thinking up with what he says is true of us. We need to change our hashtag, this is me, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty or handsome enough, this is me, no. We need to change our thinking to, this is me, marvelous are your works, Lord, I am marvelous, right? Male or female, write that word on your bathroom mirror when you're getting ready in the morning. Remember what he's called you to, that is you, right? Our tightrope walker. It's a hard one to say. I love what Dan said last night about the ticking time bomb. That really kind of spoke in my spirit too when he said that statement. You feel like you're walking the line all the time. It's like that ticking time bomb. You feel at any moment, one wrong move, it's all over. I make one mistake and I'm done. I fall to one side or the other, I'm done. And you're just on edge all the time, you know? You're anxious all the time. I can relate to that. I'm anxious a lot too. But what we have to remember though is that you've fallen and you failed, but here's the thing, there's a net. We always think about the tightrope, but we never think about the net. There's a net under there, right? So the anxiety and stress all goes away when you let yourself go sometimes, and the best part is that the net's going to catch you. So Psalms 37, 23 and 24, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So if you can picture that, you're walking on this tightrope, and what if you fall, right? And you hit the net, and you land there, and it hurts for like a second because you have hit the net, right? But then you realize, I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still able to do what he's called me to do. Here's the thing. You can get back out of the net, climb back up the ladder, and try it again. And try it again. And try it again. Pastor Lisa says, God's not just the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. And another, and another, and another. Okay? We think things that happen and go wrong in our lives are so final. They're not. You know, things happen, but then we move on, right? So if you can relate to that tightrope walker, think about just letting go and maybe trying again. Just, this isn't working. I need to do it differently, right? We think when we are trying and trying and trying and trying and things aren't working, we think we should just try harder. How do you try harder? I don't know how you do that sometimes, right? But I think we can try differently. Let's try differently, not just harder, right? The juggler extraordinaire back there. So maybe you feel like you have to keep everything and everyone afloat all the time. I'm the one who's keeping all of the balls in the air here, and if I drop them, then everything fails, right? Okay, you ever feel like that? I feel like that sometimes. We take on the responsibility, and if something falls, we bear all the blame. Oh, well, that's my fault. It's my fault that fell. It's my fault. But you know, there's some things that we take on that really just aren't things that we need to juggle. We take on too much stuff. Stuff that's just not our responsibility. And so we need to learn to let those things go that aren't ours, right? And say, we serve a God that is so powerful that he really does have the ability to let other people do things. You don't have to do all the things all the time. You don't. I say that to myself every day. You don't have to do all the things all the time. It's hard, right? That's what my husband says to me. You don't have to do all the volunteer things all the time. It's hard, but you have to do it. But what we have to do is we have to remember who our help is. So 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Almost every time I pray with our youth group here, I say the phrase, take care of these things because I know that you care about the things that we care about. Can I tell you that if you feel something is important in your life, trust it to God and he'll take care of it for you. Or he'll give you the ability to let go of that thing. But you have to be willing to give it to him. Be willing to give that to him. The amazing acrobats, Jess and Lexi. See, life gets us all twisted up. See, what you don't know behind the scenes, see, you're seeing the highlight reel of that. You don't know that it took, I don't know. Yeah, it was a lot of poses. It was a lot of tries. Because they wanted the coolest thing, right? But then you need to consider the most appropriate thing to be taking pictures of with your camera. So there's a balance. But, you know, life gets us all twisted up. No doubt about that. And we constantly feel as though we need to conform to the ideas and the things that other people say we need to do, right? And I don't know why we do that, but a lot of us are people pleasers. We want to do what other people expect of us, right? And some of it we put on ourselves. We bear that burden ourselves, and it wasn't necessarily anybody put us on there, but it's in, you know, between our own ears that we feel like we should do it. But Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. This, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I like that because when we don't conform to the world, when we are transformed, we change our thinking and our own brains, and we are renewed in our own mind. We remember who we are. You know, you renew things like subscriptions to magazines, that kind of thing. You renew your book at the library, those types of things. But what does renewing really mean? Renewing is just that you go in and you pay it again, and then your service continues. See, I think when we talk about God renewing our mind, I think it's when we remember that he paid the subscription, right? And then our mind changes. When we remember who we are and what he did for us, we change our minds, or we should, right? But sometimes we have to remember what he did for us, right? I love it. The ferocious lion. So maybe you've taken a few swats on the nose in life, right? Maybe you feel a little beat up. Maybe people haven't treated you in the way that you should have been treated. Maybe it's a little bit like Clint talked about the other night, that people have said untrue things about you. People have assumed things about you that aren't true and then passed that on as if it was. But here's the thing. It's up to you to control your own emotions about that, right? You can't control what other people say about you. Wouldn't it be nice if you could? I wish I could sometimes. But you can't stop what other people think about you. But what you can do is control your own emotions that you have about it. You can control whether or not you're going to be all tore up over it, okay? Or you can decide that you're just going to move on and be you, right? And just continue to do what God has called you to do in your life. Isaiah 53 and 5. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Are healed, right? So we think, well, I've been beat up. I'm scratched up. I am bruised. I am scarred. Daniel talked about this morning, the scars. The scars, you know, scars remind us that we've been through some things, right? But he took all of that on himself, right? Jesus took all of that on himself when he died on the cross for us. And that brought us peace. So we can choose to be mad that we're all beat up, you know, or we can understand that he took all of that away from us, and now we can have peace, right? And we can choose to move forward, right? All right, the bearded ladies. Some of us are having an identity crisis, right? We're not sure who we are, you know? We've allowed people to put a covering over us. We've believed the lie on how we were created, right? We think we weren't good enough. We think we're too much. Sometimes we think we're not enough. Sometimes we think, oh, you're too quiet. Sometimes we think, oh, they're too loud. We think, oh, well, they weren't expected, you know, that way. We think we're born into the wrong family, right? Anybody else feel like that? I was, you know. But, you know, it takes a little while to move past that. But we have to understand that we weren't born into the wrong family. We're born for such a time as this. The places that we came from bring us to where we are today. Quick side story, because I always just think this is a little bit funny when I think about it. You know, I came from a little bit of a rough family, but one thing that I remember, and of course, you know, we didn't go to church when I was a kid or anything like that, but when I was about 6 or 7 years old, my grandfather was dying, and we were at the house, and, you know, I didn't know anything about a church or what a preacher was or anything like that when I was a kid, and I remember these two people coming into the house to pray for my pap when he was dying. And I just remember them as being older. They had gray hair, but they came into the house, and they went into the bedroom, and they put their hands on my grandfather, and they prayed over him. And then they kind of left. And as a 6 or 7 year old, that's kind of how I remember that story. But now I look back on that, and the people that had done that were actually Pastors Jack and Shirley Howes from this house. And I didn't know them at the time. And when I came here as a 15-year-old and I put those things together, I've always thought about the small seeds that we drop as we go along in life thinking that we're just doing what we need to do. Pastors Jack and Shirley probably just thought we're going to go pray for a sick man. But really, I think what they did that day is they dropped a few seeds around my grandmother's house that I spent a lot of time at. And I think maybe one of those seeds must have got on my leg or something. I took it home with me, right? And that planted inside of me and gave me a desire to be different than where I came from, right? So when I came here several years later and started coming to church here, there was something that woke up inside of me and started to sprout a little bit, started to get some leaves on it, started to grow, and I started to realize, man, these people look like what I want to look like, right? They're not angry. Everybody's pretty calm. I feel as though I'm welcome here. That's an important seed to drop. Drop those things like confetti in your life, okay? Because you never know where that seed's going to hop onto, right? And what that person is going to do later on in their lives. Because as a 6 or 7 year old kid, I can tell you I wouldn't have thought I'd ever be standing here in front of you guys today, right? And for a long time after that, I didn't think that either. But those seeds, Jesus is sneaky. He'll get in there and, man, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you things that you never knew you wanted. He'll help you to see a vision that's so much bigger than what you can think of for yourself. And if you just tap into what he has for you, he's going to do crazy big things in your life. That was the bearded ladies, right? Strong man, right? Some of us are coming in here carrying a weight that isn't for you to carry, right? We let all the pain, all the hurt, all the mistakes, the situations that are beyond our control, we let it weigh on our bodies, right? We let it weigh on our minds. But the thing is, let me show you something. You probably already got this. It's fake. It's fake. Yeah. The hurt and the mistakes and all of the stuff that are beyond your control, that's not fake. That really did happen to you. Okay, you're not crazy. Let me tell you that right now. Because sometimes things happen in our lives and makes us feel like we're crazy, doesn't it? Yeah. So let me first of all tell you, you're not crazy. But I want to tell you that the burden that you carry around, that some of you in this room are carrying around right now, that burden is fake because it's not yours to carry. Okay? You're carrying around somebody else's luggage, and it's not yours. So just get rid of it. Just go. Go away. Because it's not yours to carry. Okay? So Proverbs 12 and 25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, or a woman, but a kind word cheers him up. A kind word, a word from someone around you, changes your whole perspective, right? So I do want you to talk about the issues that you guys are going through with each other, because you probably share some of those same things. But then change that conversation to, okay, but now what are we going to do about it? Because we can't live there. We can't all walk around and be productive while we're carrying around a 1,000-pound weight, can we? Right? We can't be productive doing that. So if we're called to be productive, if we're called to be all of these things that God's called us in our life, we have to put the weight down, okay? The dainty lady. Maybe you came here feeling small. Maybe you feel insignificant and like there isn't anything in this world that God has for you. Maybe you feel like you're too young. There's a lot of people in the Bible that came from a beginning that seemed pretty insignificant at the time, right? David was just a boy when he was keeping sheep. He was just the younger brother when he took his brothers their lunch and then took down Goliath. There's lots of people in the Bible that were small but mighty. Right? So you may feel small and insignificant right now, or you may feel like nobody sees you. You ever felt as though people are looking at you, but they look straight through? I don't even feel like people are seeing me right now. You even hear the words that are coming out of my mouth, right? You ever feel like that? I feel like that sometimes too. But 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Can I tell you, you're called to be all of those things. You're called to be an example of those things. And I know that may seem daunting. Oh, well, I don't feel as though I'm very pure. I don't feel like I have much faith. You know, sometimes we feel small and insignificant, but here's the thing. If God said it about me, I might not believe it too heartily today, but I can tell you I'm going to believe it about me a little bit more tomorrow, and the day after that I'm going to believe it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. There's a book, it talks about 2 degrees of change, and I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but basically what we're saying is that, or what it's talking about is, we think about change in our lives and that it has to be some huge change. We think, I have to make this full turn and change my life, right? Because that's what I have to do. But can I tell you that in your life, if today you just decide, I'm going to do things just a little bit differently, and you're going to move about 2 degrees. Okay, and tomorrow you're going to change a little bit more, you move another 2 degrees, okay? So every day, if you can just get in your mind, you know what? The Lord says, I am marvelous. The Lord has called me to be righteous. He has made me righteous through what he did in the cross, right? He has made me, he has chosen me. He has made me all of these things. We had a shirt a few years ago, hello, my name is righteous, right? There were probably people who walked out of here that year with that camp t-shirt, and they probably didn't believe that name tag when they left here. And that's okay. But I hope that maybe it moved them 2 degrees, and then they moved 2 degrees the next day too, okay? So every change doesn't have to be a complete 180. It doesn't. It can just be a little bit every day. I was talking with someone last night, talking about how can I grow more in my faith in a way that it doesn't seem daunting. Because sometimes we think the change again, well, if I want to be a better Christian, I need to read my Bible more, chapter a day, right? So we go home and we read our Bibles and we read a chapter a day, and that probably lasts, I don't know, 6-7 days. If you're me, it might only last 2 or 3. I get distracted. I might not last. But if we can make little changes, that helps, right? So start out. This is what I said last night. You have a Bible app on your phone. Most of you do. And if you don't, you probably have a phone and put it on there. But here's the thing. It has plans in the app, the YouVersion one. It has plans in there. You hit that little plan, it's going to bring up like 30 plans. You can choose whatever plan you want to start, right? If you want to grow in your faith, there's a plan for that, right? If you want to learn more about healing, there's a plan for that. There's things that are specifically tailored to people your age. There's plans that are specifically tailored to people like me. And every person in this room would be able to open that up, click one of those plans, and then all you have to click is start plan. And you just start it. And it might be a scripture a day. Just read that. And if you miss a day, that's okay. Go back in and just read it again. It'll say, would you like to catch up? And you can even say no if that's too much. And we're like, it's too much for me to read 2 today. Okay, then just read 1, okay? This isn't a race, okay? You're just growing your faith, okay? It's not about trying to beat somebody else to having better faith. It's just yours, right? So just do it like that. Do it small. Then if you want to develop it, develop it. Get a journal. Get a notebook. Spiral notebook. Start writing some things down. If the only thing you do is copy down the scripture that you read, that's good enough to start. Because if you write a scripture down, you'll have a better chance of remembering it. And we do those prayers and pledges in the morning. We talk about hiding the word and hiding his word in our heart. That's how you hide word in your heart. You write it down. You do something that helps you remember it, right? Because when you need it, when you're in a situation where you need some faith, you'll remember that you read something about faith. And you can bring that back out and remind yourself who you are, right? So it's just a small change. Okay, was that the dainty lady? Okay, the ringleader. See, it's kind of like the juggler in the same way that you're trying to just keep it all together is the ringleader. Except you also feel like you're the person that's going to get blamed no matter what. If the elephants get loose, it's your fault. The clowns trip and knock over the water, it's your fault. The acrobat falls, it's your fault, right? We take on all of this fault and blame, and it's not ours. It's not ours to carry, right? God never asked us to take some of the things that we feel like we're responsible for. We're not responsible for somebody else's happiness, okay? You're not responsible for one other person's happiness on this planet. Okay? You should understand that. We're not responsible for their actions or their reactions. Okay? Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Does anyone know what a yoke is in this room, other than the back? Okay. All right. That wasn't a lot of people up front, so I want to talk about that for a second. A yoke is a piece of wood, okay, a heavy piece of wood that they use, and they put it across the backs of cattle when they're working, that kind of tethers them together so that they're stronger. They're a stronger force as they move forward. It tethers them to each other so they can do this job. Can I tell you that if the Lord is telling you to take on his yoke, it's better than your yoke, okay? His yoke is easy and his burden is light, okay? It's that same weight issue. He's not asking you to take on more. He's trying to lighten your load, but he'll take yours on. Give it to him all day long. Give him your issues. Give him your problems. Talk to him. Have a relationship with him. It's a two-way street, right? Take on his yoke. Give him your burdens, and you will then be much lighter, right? And then here's the thing. The animals still have the stuff to do, right? We still have stuff to do. Right? We can't do the stuff that he's called us to do if we have that heavy burden on our back. So he's saying, here, I am equipping you to go out and to do what I've called you to do because my yoke is easy and my burden's light. Right? All right. I'm going to skip the fire breather and come to the clowns, and I'm going to go back for effect. Just kidding. So the crazy clowns. You got to watch out for the clowns in your life. Because you know what a clown is created for, right? What is it? Distraction. When the clowns come out at the circus or the carnival when you're there, and they're running around the car, and there's 27 of them in one little pinto, and they're getting out, it's there to distract you. Because while you're watching them do all this crazy stuff, the other people are getting in place to do the other acts, right? Okay? So the clowns are there to distract you. And there's people in your life that will distract you. Choose your friends wisely. Okay? Choose friends who build you up and don't tear you down. Choose friends who encourage you to be better. Right? Choose friends who are willing to make sacrifices for you. This happens all the time. You guys are at the age now where you have your youth group and you play a sport and you have this and you have that and all these kind of things. And it's hard because you feel like you're torn in 100 different directions all the time because you can't do all the things, okay? You can't. So have friends that will encourage you to do the things that are best for you. What's going to build you up and not tear you down, okay? Proverbs 14, 7 through 9. Okay, sorry. Stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Okay? Don't be deceived by the distractions in your life. Stay focused on what it is that he's called you to do, okay? And if right now you're feeling like, well, I don't really know what he's called me to do. I don't really get what that means. What does that mean? Right now the calling in your life might just be to be a good friend. It might be to do your best in school. It might be to learn to be faithful to the small things by showing up. It might be growing more in your faith by taking time to learn more about him. Take this time in your lives to develop those dreams Dan was talking about last night. Okay, we had some people with some pretty specific dreams in here last night. I have some pretty specific dreams too. So take this time to think about those things. Talk with the Lord about that. Because like I said the other day, if you ask him, he will tell you every time. It might not be immediate, but he'll tell you. Okay? All right, last, the fire breather. Some of you might just be mad right now, a little angry about some things in your life. Some things just have not gone your way. Life doesn't look like what you thought it was going to look like, right? I'm not the only one, right? Okay, I didn't think so. That's what happens sometimes, is that life doesn't look like the picture we made it in our head, right? And that's okay. And we have to learn to be okay with that. But not to let that be a stumbling block to mean that, well, it's all over and that means that there's no good for me. If it doesn't look like what I thought it was going to look like, then that just must mean that I haven't, you know, there's nothing good in store for me, right? That isn't the case at all. But we have to trust the picture that God is placing in our heads. He gives new reels at a much slower rate than we prefer sometimes. But trust him to keep that picture moving, right? James 1, 19 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. If God desires it for you, then it's better than anything you could ever think. Okay? So don't let anger get in the way. Don't let anger be a stumbling block. I understand there's some things that are happening in your lives that are making you angry. I get that. But don't let those things trip you up in the plan that God has for you. God will take on your anger, right, and give you righteousness, right? Does anyone know what righteousness means? Yes, ma'am. Right standing with God, right? If we're in right standing with God, to me, Zach, can you come here for a minute? If we're in right standing with God, this is how I want to be right standing with God, okay? I want God to be right here. I want God to be right next to me in everything that I do. And we can walk, and I'm not going to attempt it because we'll do human disaster to it. But we're in step with each other as we're going through life. You can sit down. Thank you. appreciate Zach. I want him to be right by my side and to be in step with me in everything that I do, because he's going to do it right. And I might mess it up, and I want to be able to, and sometimes, you know, I think the Lord looks down at us and, you know, he's kind of walking here with us and he's looking and he's like, okay, you go ahead and take the first step this time. Okay, Lord. And he's right there with you. But he needs us to have the faith to take the step, right? Peter had the faith to take the step. We always talk about the fact that Peter started to sink in the water, right? But he took the step. But then he has 2 degrees of change, didn't he? By the end, because by the end, he was on the shore before anybody else got there, right, from the boat. When God called him, when Jesus called him from the shore, and Peter made it there before everybody else, he learned how to do that. That's a 2-degree change, right? That took a little bit every day for him to grow in that faith, because we want to think that we would do that. I want to think that I could do all of those things, but it's hard. You know, we did this one a few years ago, Be Brave. I love that because bravery is funny because sometimes bravery doesn't look very brave, okay? Bravery is doing it even when you're scared, okay? Bravery is taking the step when you don't see the whole staircase, right? Bravery is one of those things that we think that we have to remove all the doubt and all the stuff in our lives before we can be brave. That isn't how bravery works. Bravery is small, everyday actions that move you forward, right? I'm finishing up here because we're already done on those. But, you know, I just wanted to share this with you today because there's a lot of giftings in this room. There's a lot of calling in this room, and I hope that each one of you leave here with a little bit more of an understanding about that before you go. But more than that, I want you guys to understand that you each have an anointing on your life, something that God has called you to, that he said, this is your purpose here in this earth, right? And your purpose might look like a lot of things that you do well. Your purpose might look like some things that you think you don't do very well, but you're going to get a lot better at it, okay? Lastly, I read this book recently, and I can't remember the exact term, but it's basically the Clifton Strengths. What it talks about is we each have about 5 really good strengths inside of us, and there's like 36 things total, I think. There's 5 things that we're really good at, right? And so you take this little test, and it tells you what those 5 things are. But basically, what I learned from that is it takes so much less effort from me if I focus on getting better at the strengths that I have instead of trying to be the 31 other things that I'm not great at. Right? I'm not as good at those other things. And so I may do those other things okay. And if there's somebody else who does those other things better than me, then let them do them. Okay? But I'm going to focus on the things that I'm good at. Right? I'm really good at being pretty responsible. That's one of my strengths. If you've asked me to do something, I'm pretty good at making sure that it's done for you, okay? Because inside of me, there's something that says, this is now mine. I own the responsibility to do this thing, and I'm pretty good at that, okay? And so that's one strength that I'm working on, okay? And there's some other things too, but figure out what those strengths are inside of you. Figure out the things that you're good at and do them really well. And if there's things that you're not great at, that's okay. Do them, okay? But if you don't do them as good as you really think you should be, it's okay. Don't get all tore up about it, okay? It'll be okay. But focus on what God has called you to. He's made each of us different and special, and all of these things, the strengths that he's given you, trust that those are the reason you have those strengths is because you need them in your calling in life, right? That's all I have today. And I did want to offer this morning, Lisa said there was a few of you last night, that maybe you had something to share. You know, you may have had a thought last night or something like that. I wanted to give you guys opportunity. If you have something to share, and you had mentioned it last night, or even if you didn't, if you'd like to come up this morning and share maybe something that's going on that you want to share, that's okay. So anybody have anything this morning? It's left you since last night. Oh, okay. Come on up. Jordan? Jordan?
I'm Kendall. Yep, Jordan's my brother. That's okay. Your close. Okay, guys, so I know you're all hungry and don't really care about what I have to say, but I'll try and be quick. It should be really quick. So last year, one of the people who preached at the night service talked about Moana, and I know not all of you have seen Moana, but if you have, and I promise this is relevant, there's a scene where she's learned her calling. She knows that she wants to go off and travel and save her tribe, yada, yada, yada. And her dad's like, nah, bro, that's not cool. That's not what we do. And she's talking to her grandma, and she's like, bro, I really want to save the tribe, but I'm just not gonna. And then her grandma's like, okay. And then she's like, wait. You're just gonna let me walk away from my calling? And then her grandma's like, I mean, sure. You don't want to do it, that's fine. And Moana's like, no. No, I want to. I can't, so I guess I won't. And she's, like, trying to convince her grandma to convince her to go out and, like, follow what she knows she's supposed to do. And her grandma's like, nah, man, no, it's fine. If you don't feel like you can do that, just don't do that. And Moana's like, okay, you've convinced me. I'll go, you know? So last night I was listening to some of the truest bops of our time played by Truvine. I was sitting there bouncing around going, yeah, God, I love you. And then I was like, yeah, we're all here having a great time. And then I was like, wait, there's like 100, 200, 1,000 of us. I'm not good at estimations. but there's some of us here. Wow, good bit of people. Nice turnout. But guess how many people are out there not praising Jesus, not, you know, experiencing what we're experiencing. So sitting there going, yeah, yeah. Well, crap. There's not that many of us here, actually. There should be a lot more of us. There's so many people who aren't having this experience. So in no way am I saying that this, like, entire camp is a bad idea. It's wonderful, and it's an opportunity to ignite a fire in our souls and in our hearts and stuff. But once we leave, which it's amazing that you said this, because I was thinking, oh, I shouldn't say it. But then you were like, yeah, once you leave, the best part. And I'm like, oh, she knows. Okay. So once you leave, this fire in the soul that's been ignited inside of you, it is your duty, it is your calling to go forth and let that light shine to everybody. And we've been talking in our youth group about being transparent, which, you know, that can mean being genuine, being sincere, but the scientific definition means something that lets light shine through it. So if you have the light of God in your heart and in your soul, and you're transparent, then you're going to walk out of here, and everyone else is going to see that light, and it's going to shine onto everyone else. So I was really like, man, this is the part where Moana walks in. So I was like, yeah, God, I'm not really sure if I should go up there and say anything. I'm kind of hungry. I kind of want to go get M&M's, so we should wrap this whole, like, Jesus thing up. And he's like, nah, bro. I mean, you don't have to share if you don't want to. I was like, oh, you've convinced me. I should probably share. No, it's fine. I'm really hungry. And he's like, oh, okay, that's fine. And then this guy comes up here, and he's preaching, and he gives that verse where somebody's saying, you know, Jesus, I'm not eloquent enough. And Jesus is like, shut up, bro, do it. And I'm like, message received, God. I'll talk about it. So basically, I just wanted to share with you guys that, yes, this is an amazing experience, but what really counts is what happens after this, and that you go forth and make disciples in all nations. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Something about that. Oh, yeah. Look it up in your Bible app. Yeah. Anyways, that's all I had to say.
Anyone else? Anyone else have anything to share? Okay. Do it. Bless God. Bless God. Thank you. Found the water bottle. It's the little things. It's the little things. Yes. All right, listen here for just a second. Shh. Shh. If anyone finds a red inhaler, could you please return that?